Thanks, Josh. Great worship. Beautiful day today. Awesome to be here. Thank you so much for coming and listening and worshiping in your hearts. There's a day coming, we think, and we will be gathering together and shaking hands and talking face to face. And we anticipate that. And we have found in this period of time that God brings to surface many things that he wants to address in our lives. And because of our new birth, our spiritual birth, Christ dwells in us. Pastor Shibeli gave a great message at 9 o'clock. About knowing God and how, just as there are layers between me and you just now, I cannot see your faces, but I can see your cars. That's a extra layer. It was face to face, and then we have our clothes on. Now we are in our cars. And yet we also know that what you know and what I know is of the deepest reality, for God dwells in us. And we know God, and we know each other in God. Though we don't see God in the flesh at the moment, he left, he ascended. Yet he said, I send another. And this he spoke of the Holy Spirit. And he is like me, and he will guide you into all truth, and you will know the truth, and you will be free. When Thomas, as a disciple, walked with Jesus Christ for 3 years, and then Christ died on the cross, Thomas said, I don't believe it until I put my hand in his side and my hand in the nail prints in his hand. We know the story. But he is typical of us. We fluctuate between believing and being persuaded and then also having doubt. We can also say, fears, worries, anxieties. After all, we are people. So because of those fears and worries and anxieties, people sometimes walk away from God. In a way, Thomas did. Actually, all the disciples did. I cannot handle this. I don't understand it. I don't know what is going on. I'm out of here. But God knows our frame. He knows what we are made of, and he also knows our subconscious mind is very powerful. I've read in some medical papers years ago about people that actually believed they were dying, and they were sick, and they believed they were dying, and it was deep in their subconscious mind, and they died. I read recently, or heard recently, of a coronavirus victim who believed they would get it, and they believed they would die from it, and it happened. It raises the question on a couple of levels about us. What is in our mind, not conscious mind only, but subconscious. In Thomas's subconscious mind, he didn't believe that the man that hung on the cross, Jesus Christ, was raised from the dead. But he was. Pastor Shibeli said this morning from Luke 24, there were two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they were talking back and forth, historically correct, but spiritually bankrupt. Correct in detail, but empty in spirit. Correct about a virus or a tragedy or a plague or the end times that we're looking at, the pending problems of the world. By the way, if you think the world is a mess today, wait until the church leaves in the rapture. When the church leaves and the Holy Spirit leaves in that degree that is here today, the world will start to fall apart in many ways. Before the world falls apart, be sure you don't fall apart. Be sure, like Thomas, when Jesus met him, he addressed his depth of unbelief and his fears and his subconscious mind and said, "Put your hand in my side and feel my wounds." And he bowed down. Listen to this. He fell at his feet and said, "My Lord and my God." That happened to you. At least I hope so. If it hasn't, today's the day for your salvation. If it hasn't, today's the day for you to say to God in your heart, "Come into my heart. Save me. Take my sin away. And give me a new life. And I want to live in that new life. I don't want the bankruptcy of my fallen nature dragging me through this world this way and that way with fear and anxiety." In Mark chapter 4, Jesus said, and that's our text today, turn with me, please, to Mark chapter 4. I'm so thankful and so proud of Christ in us, in the body. I'm so thankful for what he's doing. I want to say to the community leaders, now's your hour for you to have your community fellowships, for you to be on fire for God. Now's the hour for you to gather in homes, not more than 10 people, but gather in homes and have meetings and encouragement and the Spirit speak to people, our neighbors and our friends. Community group leaders, we have these cell groups or these community groups to say that now, my heart, now is the time for us to seek God and find him. In Mark chapter 4, the sower sowed the word. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately, takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Don't be discouraged if you are an evangelist. Don't be discouraged if you share your faith vigorously and often. Don't be discouraged with people that you don't see much result, because Jesus told us in this parable that 3 out of 4, it had no effect. The gospel had no effect out of 3 out of 4 of the illustration here. 3 of the 4 people or soils that the seed was sown on. Verse 16, these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground. When they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves. We've been sharing the gospel at Sam's Club. People with the mask on, and we have rubber gloves, and they are 6 feet apart and standing in line. I had the best time in years. The other day, just politely inviting people to our drive-in service. Perhaps some of you are here today. I met one lady this morning who we met there, who came, and she said she was at 9 o'clock. She's going home to take a shower and come back for the 11. But we know in that crowd, there are people that are governed by their subconscious mind. I don't believe. I don't know why. I'm troubled at work. I have a problem in my marriage. My child is estranged from me. I don't know why I have these problems. I have these problems. I am so discouraged and troubled in my heart. Sometimes when we sow the word, it has no place in their mind and in their heart for what we're saying. Don't be discouraged. Maybe later they will hear. Maybe Satan came and took the word. Maybe it fell on stony ground. Maybe the person has no root in themselves. We understand that because we have been like this ourselves. But there's a good word here. They which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. These are those that, for the word's sake, there's persecution and they're offended. I heard on National Public Radio a country singer yesterday, you know, mocking right-wing fundamentalism and homeschooling in a joke that he made in between his songs. I took that in my heart and thought about it. I realize that people can misunderstand us. I realize that we can be ridiculed. I realize that they don't really know what it is that we have. They think we are maybe religious, self-righteous, judgmental people. But when Thomas met Jesus, he did not become a right-wing, judgmental person. He became a broken person, a satisfied person. He became a filled person. He became a deep person. He became a loving person, a forgiving person, a praying person. The two on the road to Emmaus, when Jesus showed himself to them, they were filled. Their hearts burned within them. And that's what I want to say in closing. In the last one here, it says, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. We could even say Peter the apostle ran away, denied the Lord, and you could say that's unfruitful. But we could say that's the way it is in life. We fail, but our Savior comes to us and shows us who he is. We are troubled, but then our Savior, he visits us. Our Savior says, I have prayed for you. When you are converted, strengthen the brethren. You know, many times we have sown the seed in different places here in Baltimore, Dundalk, Glen Burnie, years ago up in Boston, New York City. We have done it in Europe, in Africa, in India, in many places. I am amazed again and again at the miracle of the new birth, the miracle of a saved soul, the miracle of a person born of God, the miracle of Christ in us, the joy that comes and the peace that comes into our subconscious mind. And you end up saying, I can face the storm. That's okay. I believe. I tell you, there's a harbor in Chile. Valle Paradiso is the name of it. It means Vale of Paradise. The harbor there on the Pacific Ocean coastline on the border is Chile, Chilean territory, and the harbor is absolutely beautiful. And ships go in there. But when there's a storm coming, they get out. Because it looks like a paradise, but when a storm comes, it rips the ships to pieces on the floor line, the rocky edges. So a sailor will say, "This looks beautiful, but I've got to get out of here and face the storm in the open ocean." That's a picture of life for us. That I need to believe in my heart that there is no place in this world that is safe except in Him, the one that overcame death, the one that walks with you, the one that talks to you, the one that speaks deeply to your heart and says, "Follow me." Thomas, Peter, James, and John, "I'm risen. I overcame, and I send you. You can face it. You can face it." Without Jesus, I don't think people are doing very well. But with Jesus, we do very well. Because it says here that the word that is sown in good soil, and this is the closing part, verse 20, "These are they which are sown on good ground, which is such as hear the word and receive it." Please hear this part. Don't just have a casual attitude about your Bible. It is life. It is food. It is a hammer. It is fire. It is power. It affects your subconscious mind. And there you will know, the Spirit of God will say, and you will understand. And you will say, "I can go out in the open water. I can face the storm because I'm prepared, because God is with me." If I look at the false comfort and the false facade, the veil of paradise, it will catch me, because the outside cannot get on the inside, and because it's lying to me, and because it's misleading to me, like Sodom and Gomorrah was to Lot. What he needed wasn't Sodom and Gomorrah. What he needed was the living Christ in his heart and an altar, and to say to God, "I will go where you want me to go." I was reading recently about E. Stanley Jones, who was a Baltimorean, lived 50 years in India, and God told him to go to India, and his mother started to die, and he realized that his mother was dying because of his decision to go to India. And he said, "My mother was heartbroken because I was going to waste my life in India." But his new birth was so real, and the reality of God in his heart was so real, that he had to do God's will even if his mother would die. And he tells the story that when he made that decision, his mother also changed her attitude, and she got healed and lived a long, happy, joyful life. He said her face was shining. This is the issue, not the externals, but Christ coming to you as the resurrected Christ. And because of him, we bear fruit 30-fold, it says here, some 30-fold. Pastor Shibeli went to Africa. You met John Jason. John Jason became a believer, and you have 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. Pastor Carl was an engineering student in India, and Joe Swader met him, and he started to hear Dr. Stevens' cassette tapes. And Jomi Anthony was in his class. And Pastor Carl made a decision. This is for real. The word is in my heart. I believe in Jesus Christ more than anything. I give my life to Christ. I will follow him. He left school, came here to our small Bible college. But he has borne maybe 100-fold fruit with 127 churches in India. This is why we evangelize. We know that 3 out of 4, it will mean nothing, and that's a tragedy. 3 out of 4 today, it may mean nothing. They will not hear us. But keep your eyes open and your heart warm. Keep your heart on fire. Have your subconscious mind believing these things and embracing them and knowing that he is risen. And one day we will see him. And one day he will come back. And one day we shall be forever and ever with God and his people. There will be many at that table where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, many will come from the east and west and south. And we will gather at that table and we'll say, he is risen. It is true. We lived it. We faced the storm. We left the harbor of our humanity, embracing the reality of his person. And we went out and faced the storm and we overcame. He was good to us, and he did it. Would you listen to me now as we close? These are great days. Pastor Schiavelli said, I don't want things to go back to normal. I want them to be better than normal. I want an upgrade. When this thing is over, whatever that means, we are looking for an upgrade. We're looking for the word sown in the heart. We're looking for people coming to Christ. We're looking for somebody being 100-fold and so on. And we'll meet here in the parking lot as long as we need and whatever God has for our future. We can face the storm because not only do we believe that he has risen academically, but we are believing in our worship, in our hearts, and in our spirit. There's no barrier between us now. Our cars are not between us. The Spirit is between us. We are bearing witness. We have the greatest message in the world, the only message in the world, the only living Christ, the answer for everything in this world we would ever face. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Maybe you. Oh, wow. Thank you. Maybe you drove in here today and you heard the message of the gospel. We hope so. You are a sinner and you need Jesus Christ. He's the answer for you. In your heart, right there behind the steering wheel, right there in the back seat, say in your heart to Christ, I need you, Jesus. Save me. Take my sin away. Give me the new birth. I want to read my Bible, walk by faith in you and believe in you. I accept you today. Would you say that prayer, please? And please let us know. Send us an email or wave out your window and just let us know. Just say, yes, I accept Jesus today, anyone at all. Yes, say yes to Jesus. Yes to Jesus. And then, Father, we pray that during this period, we would face everything you have for us and learn to live with our subconscious mind saturated with Holy Spirit truth. And we would know who you are in our lives and in our trials. Lead us in faith and in joy in Christ's name. Amen.